Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. And wanted to mention that our pledge drive starts tomorrow, and we've shortened it from the usual 12 days to just 6 days. Shorter pledge drives only work when we raise the same amount of money, and we need to probably raise some money beforehand. So we need your help. If you go to WPR.org, you can make your donation right now and get us off on the right foot. And getting us off on the right foot here for the rest of this program, Darren Bush joins us, chief paddling evangelist, owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports of Madison, just recently back from a trip to the Apostle Islands.
Yeah, I'm still I'm still recovering, but yeah. I'm still basking in the post-trip joy. My gear is still in a pile on the garage floor. I'm reluctant to put it away.
Well, and here you posted on our Facebook page.
Yeah, I figured you want to see the stuff that I took. There's a picture up there. It was kind of a fun group. It happened, we do a trade show in August called Outdoor Retailer, and that's where we look at all the stuff for the following year. And we were having dinner with the folks from Yakima who make the car racks. And I said, how can we never paddle together? We always just do business stuff. He said, well, you set the time and date and we'll be there. And I set a time and date and they were there. And none of them had been on big water before. A couple of them hadn't really kayaked. And, a little trepidation about holding the group back, but they didn't. And they had an excellent guide in one of my employees, John. And it was a wonderful trip to see brand new people really get turned on by being out there. It's a beautiful place.
And so you were there for what, 3 days?
Yeah, 4 days.
Four days? Oh, man. So you were out there with guys who, some of them who hadn't paddled before.
Yeah, and that's, it's always a little bit of a risk, but we knew that their physical conditioning would handle it, and we knew that we could teach them. We knew the equipment was the right equipment for them. It was, a little more stable than maybe the first time they'd paddle on a big water boat. And, they had dry suits, so we basically reduced the risk to almost nothing. And, that's what you do when you go a place like that. And yeah. We did have a small craft warning on one day, so we decided to wisely wait out the 4 to 7 foot waves and had a rest day. And it was actually very welcome because the day before was pretty rough. But a lot of fun.
Well, I tell you what, we have many things you and I can talk about here relating to paddling. But let's get some input from our listeners. If you do you have some fall plans for paddling? Where and when do you plan to go? How do you store your gear over the winter? Any tips to share there? You'd like to paddle but haven't? What's stopping you? Those are all things we can talk about with Darren Bush of Rutabaga Paddle Sports. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show and you can comment there and ask a question, or maybe you can post like Darren just did, post a photograph. We'd love to see the pictures too. We have a Facebook comment from Emery. We're thinking of paddling the lower Wisconsin sometime in November from Sauk City to Spring Green. I'm hoping for that to be a pretty great trip.
And I'm hoping for you as well. That's a really interesting time of year to plan a trip like that. I've done trips in late October, early November, and it's either sleeting on me or it's 45, 50 degrees and gorgeous. You just don't know. This weekend I have a trip. Just an overnighter on the Wisconsin with a bunch of buddies, and it's going to be in the 60s. We did the same trip last year 2 weeks earlier, and our water bottles froze. So welcome to Wisconsin, But it's a beautiful stretch. You should have a good time.
Actually, I was thinking about that because we watch October 12th for my wife and I. This is our 15th wedding anniversary. It's coming up this
cow.
This week, so it's October 12th, and I think every year of the years that we've been married, the 15 years, October 12th has turned out to be a beautiful day.
Well, let's move our trip to October 12th, and you can bring your wife and your daughter along.
I can almost guarantee October 12th is a good day because it's been a good been good every single year.
Well, congratulations, Larry.
Oh, man. So what's so good about the Apostle Islands and paddling the Apostles?
What's so good about it? It's a different kind of a place. It's an archipelago of 22 islands. Whoever first counted them couldn't count because obviously there weren't 22 apostles. But it's just an amazing place. There's different kinds of beauty there. There's the sea caves, along Little Sand Bay and Sand Island and Devil's Island. There's Oak Islands, a big large island with an oak forest on it that has that you can hike up to 7 or 8 miles. And largest bear population in the United States per square mile. So there's bear boxes at every campsite, a big metal box where you put your food at night. And you keep a pile of rocks outside your tent in case anybody gets close. But they're small. But there wasn't a time we got out of the boats where there wasn't a bear track or some other sign of bear.
Is that right?
Yeah, pretty much every time.
What kind of... we had Dorothy and... on our Facebook, what kind of kayaks did you use with your new paddlers?
Couple kinds. One was a big, wide double. Double kayaks are a really good way to get a beginner out on some big water because they're more stable inherently, and you can team them up with a paddler who's a little stronger. And we used one. It's a new boat from Current Designs called the Unity, of all things. It's a good name for a tandem. And then we used some wider 24, 25-inch wide sea kayaks that are a lot more stable compared to, mine's 21.5, 22. So it just added a little extra stability, and that just made them more comfortable. Frankly, sometimes the more stable a boat, the faster it is, and the reason is because you're not worrying about keeping upright. You're worrying about putting power into moving forward. So even though the design may not be as quick, but your time made good ends up being better.
Darren Bush, our guest today. Give us a call with your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can post a question or a comment there. How late in the year can we reasonably expect to paddle here? I think probably could do it the entire year.
It depends on where, and it depends on the conditions, obviously. I mean, I don't stop paddling. I have a couple of boats that go out, and I just keep going. You just have to dress for the likelihood of immersion. So if I go on the Baraboo River down by Aldo Leopold's shack in January on a 40-degree day, when it happens, I'll wear a dry suit to make sure if I do go in, I'm going to be safe. But it just depends on the situation. Obviously, big water, cold water, small boat, those things don't mix very well. But with the proper gear, the proper knowledge, and the proper location, you can pretty much paddle whenever you want.
Yeah. Well, Chris in Oshkosh has a question. Hi, Chris. Thank you for calling.
Hi. We just bought a pair of Current Designs 12 and 14-foot Kestrel kayaks this fall. So we're beginners. We've only been out about four times. And we're talking about the Apostle Islands as a trip next summer. Are those basic kayaks going to be acceptable to use up there, or do we need something from a rental place that's going to be better for bigger water?
No, they're not really appropriate. They're too small and not quite seaworthy enough. Definitely go for a rental. And there's a place in Red Cliff right on the Indian Reservation called Living Adventures, and they have boat rentals. They have guided trips. If you rent from them, you do have to take a safety class to make sure that you're competent in the boat. And
Okay. Yeah,
tandems for sure. If you're a first time out there, that's a good way to go.
All right, thanks.
Sure.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Let's talk about kayaks and paddles and canoes, kayaks and paddles. Let's talk sure. about all of them. What kinds of maintenance would you expect to have before storing for winter?
Well, one thing I like to do is make sure that whether it's a canoe or a kayak, that it's clean, because there's nothing worse than pulling a boat out in the spring and having it, be dusty and dirty and covered with, schmutz from the previous year's paddle in the fall. For most boats, you use a UV inhibitor. I call it, it's UV Tech. It's from a company called McNett. It's like sunscreen for your boat, and you can wipe down your boat with it. I like to do that as well. If it's a kayak, get a cockpit cover to put over it. I had an experience many years ago when I hung my whitewater boat up in the garage by the grab handles, and I didn't put a cockpit cover on it. And when I came back in the spring to pull it down with a ladder, it fell on top of me and weighed about 70 pounds, and that's because a squirrel had filled it up with black walnuts. you definitely want to keep a cockpit cover on there. It keeps vermin out. It keeps spiders and things. You don't want to crawl into your boat in spring and have a spider crawl up your leg. So cockpit cover is great. There's some other things you need to do, especially on canoes. If you've got what's called a Royal X canoe, which is an ABS plastic, if they have a wood gunwale on them, you want to loosen the screws, because what happens is the wood and the ABS expand and contract at different rates. So you can get what's called a cold crack, because the boat shrinks and the wood doesn't, and there's a screw through both, and it'll crack. So you want to loosen those up a little bit. So the boat and the gunnels can move independently, just the four or five screws on each end. But that's fairly easy to do and quick.
So those are the basic things that we need to...
Yeah, and repairs. You know, again, if you've got the boat and you got dinged up or you did something to it during the season, you don't want to think about it in the spring. So if you've got, a canoe with some bow and stern wear on it from paddling, you know, some shallower rivers or some whitewater, it might be a good time to put a skid plate on, which is a Kevlar felt that covers up the bow and stern, protects the boat, and, you know, things like that. If you've got a screw loose, most paddlers do. If you've got a screw loose on your boat, you'll want to, you know, make sure that's tightened up, and a little Loctite here and there. Just kind of go over them and love them up before you put them away.
Darren Bush, our guest, and he'll be with us right up until 12:30 today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Fall in Wisconsin can be gorgeous, and we are really enjoying some beautiful weather and stunning fall color right now. And what better way to enjoy it than at the water level? So happy to have you along today here on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller. My guest today, Darren Bush, owner and chief paddling evangelist of Rutabaga Paddle Sports in Madison. Wonder how to prepare your canoe or kayak for winter? Want to know if there's some time to get a trip in yet? Darren will have some great advice for you. He's with us for the next half hour, and I hope you'll join the conversation. You can do that by calling us at 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. And don't forget to check our Facebook page. Go to the Larry Mueller Show. And if you have a favorite paddling photo, share it while you're there. And we'd love to see it. We'll be back with Darren right after this look at the news. Stay with us. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here talking about canoeing and kayaking today with Darren Bush, chief paddling evangelist and owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports in Madison. He's just back from a trip to the Apostle Islands, had a great time there. Certainly ready to answer your questions, maybe about the Apostle Islands, maybe about kayaking, maybe about canoeing, maybe about where to go. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And Michael in Washburn has a comment or question about the apostles. Michael, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I am calling you. Standing here right now looking out at Madeline Island.
Ah,
oh, stop it.
Day. Not here, Darren.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Day. Yeah, that's great.
But I wanted to reinforce something, Darren, that you mentioned earlier and add to that. I've lived up here about 20 years. In fact, I live right across where I'm standing. And we've had about a half a dozen deaths, and four of those have been within the last 3 or 4 years. And they all have been associated with, well, one was a canoe, that was an open boat, and that was out at Sea Caves. The other three were kayaks, and two at least of those were situations where they're not a real rough water, but maybe 2 to 3 foot waves. But the lake, as you know, is cold, and they capsized with no spray skirt. And I paddle an 18-foot Romney, which is a pretty sporty boat, and I never, ever go out on that lake without at least a wetsuit and a spray skirt on and off in a jacket. So I just wanted to mention that that's rule number one. Other things to keep in mind, too, unless you're doing a island-to-island like you did, people come up to paddle. A lot of them purchase recreation boats, and those are fine for bays and so on and so forth, but if they see rough water, there's wonderful paddling in places like the Bark River Slough, south of Cornucopia off of 13, and it's protected by a big sand spit. It's a huge area, several hundred acres high, and then the lake is just on the other side of that, so you can actually paddle the mouth of the Bark and then out into the lake and be within, you know, just right there shore in 2 feet of water. So there are options up here that need to be explored. And good to talk to the people out down and directly up or other paddlers around before they go out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's interesting. The people who have died on the lake were all in violation of one of those three things I talked about, you know, the mm-hmm. right gear, the right knowledge, and the right location. And it's usually an accretion of problems. Mm-hmm. You start off with the wrong stuff. And they were crossing to Little Sand Island, or Sand Island from Little Sand Bay, which can be dead calm, but there's 60 miles of open water with a northwest wind, and it's shallow. So those kick up big waves really fast. And that's what happened, and they weren't dressed properly, and they were in the wrong kind of craft. So, yeah, it's always tragic. But if respected, the lake is not inherently dangerous. It just is it's not very forgiving of neglect or carelessness.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it, Michael. I want to give Tom a chance to join in from Cross Plains. Hi, Tom.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to comment that 20 years ago had been up to the Apostles doing some things with very young kids in kayaks, where, of course, we can't go out onto the big water with young kids, and visiting with Harold Bud Jordahl, a professor at UW-Madison here who worked tirelessly with Gaylord Nelson and other Wisconsin politicians to create the lakeshore. And when he commented is that when they were working on the park in the 1960s, no one had ever even thought of sea kayaking as a recreational sport. It was fishing, it was sailing with President Kennedy being a big sailor. They worked for a decade and created this wonderful environment for a whole new sport, sea kayaking, which Darren, you're so involved in. If you're looking to learn a little bit about the political work to create the National Lakeshore, Harold Bud Jordahl, UW Press, just published his book called Creation of a Dream, Establishing the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore.
Actually, we couldn't have Bud on because he's passed on, but we did have someone on who was connected with the book, and we promoted the book and talked about it. It really is an interesting book. I don't know if you've had a chance to see it, Darren.
I know Bud, but I haven't. Well,
knew Bud.
I knew Bud, but I haven't seen the book yet. No.
The Apostles is a wonderful, wonderful activity, and something that when they were creating the park, they never even thought of.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool.
It's true. It's actually true of the Nepali Coast in Hawaii. The outfitter that is there that does most of the trips had to fight tooth and nail to get kayaks out there. They thought it was a completely unrealistic expectation for kayaks to paddle that. So, yeah.
We have more questions about your Apostle Islands trip on Facebook. Did you have a base camp, or did you camp as you went on the islands? How many days? When's the best time to paddle the Apostles? I'm not a big fan of big waves on Superior.
We actually moved from island to island. We paddled from Little Sand Bay out to Sand Island and camped there, and then we paddled over to York and past Raspberry, past the lighthouse there, which is really interesting. It's the only inward-facing lighthouse in the Apostles. Everything else faces out. For navigation purposes. And then we paddled over to Oak, and we camped on the southernmost campsite in Oak Island, which is the best campsite in the Apostle Islands. It's absolutely stunningly beautiful. And then we had a 4 to 7 foot small craft advisory. So we just stayed on Oak Island for a while
mm-hmm.
and waited for the winds to come down to, 2 to 3 feet instead of 4 to 7. And we sprinted over to Red Cliff. So not a super long trip. We were going to go to Stockton, which is one of my favorite islands, but you don't mess with small craft warnings.
No, nope, nope, nope. And back to the book, Bud's book. Annie Booth was, Judith reminded me, was the guest the day that we talked about his book, and it was August 3rd. at 11 o'clock. So if anybody wants to listen to it and go back to our archives, just go to the Larry Mueller Show, and you can find the archive of it. And it was August 3rd. WPR.org. That's the place to go to get there. Scott in La Crosse, we'll give you a chance now. Hi, Scott.
Hi, good afternoon. I'd like you to talk a little bit about decked canoes and what advantages they offer, disadvantages compared with kayaks. And I'll take my answers off here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great question. That's one of those things that's really kind of hard to distinguish between the two because they've kind of merged together. But the idea behind a deck canoe is it's a little bit wider, usually a little bit deeper, and the decks aren't quite as long as they are in a kayak, but it does offer more protection. Several models were made in the past, and unfortunately they're not around anymore. But there's other possibilities. But it's generally, they hold a little bit more. They're easy to load and unload because you don't have the hatches to deal with. And if you put a spray skirt on them and, you know, keep your wits about you, they're actually quite nice for big water. The other option is just a solid, not a solid, but a full cover made out of material. And those can be snapped onto the hull, and you basically have a little spray skirt that's built into that cover. And that can certainly help on big water. You still are sitting rather than, you don't have the ability like you have in a kayak to really control the roll of the boat unless you're kneeling. So I still prefer kayaks to canoes on big water, but it is a possibility.
You can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. We finally have open lines again. We'll get you on pretty quickly. Mark in Richland Center, it's your turn, though. Hi, Mark.
Well, hey there, Larry, and hi there, Darren.
Hello.
Darren, a number of years ago, my young son, Daniel Shepard, bought a kayak at the Canucopia show.
Yay. How old is he now?
He's now 14.
Oh, my gosh.
And he's recently taking up shooting his bow and arrow. And one day, while lobbing his arrows through the air, it punctured my old town canoe in the very bottom of it. Perfect shot.
Oh,
how do I? How do, yeah, oh, good for him. How do I fix this hole in the bottom of my canoe?
It depends on the material. What kind of material is it?
Well, I figured you'd ask that. This was the blue old town canoes that were subject to a recall because of hull cracking. And I also was going to ask how to fix those cracks. Since I'm way past the recall date and all that kind of stuff.
You can't really fix them. They're part of it. But the good news is it doesn't matter that much. I mean, Mark, that boat doesn't know you much, okay?
No.
you can fix that. There's a material called Rec Repair that is it's a hard plastic with an adhesive on it from 3M that is super, super sticky. And you can put a chunk of that on the inside and a chunk of that on the outside, and it'll be aesthetically challenged, but it will hold water out, and you can still use the boat.
All right. Yeah, this boat has definitely seen its miles, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And there's no kind of epoxy that you know of that I can put in the crack just to putty the crack shut?
Well, you could, no, because what they'll do is they'll flex, and then the stuff will fall out again.
Okay.
It doesn't really make any difference to the boat.
What about like the epoxy for the skid plates on the front of the back? Would that work?
You're starting to spend more money than a new boat here.
Oh, okay.
I would just paddle it and enjoy it.
Right, and I discovered the Kevlar canoes just a few years ago, and I don't know if I can ever go back. So.
Yeah, well, that's true. I do have to tell a story about Mark's son. When he was about 8 or 9, he saved his money to buy a kayak.
Hmm.
And that happens every 3 or 4 years. A kid comes in with a wad of fives that he saved mowing lawns and cleaning things. And it always impresses me so much that I usually end up being a complete softy and throwing them all sorts of free gear. But I just had a kid come in a couple months ago, and it was just it really touches my heart when a young person can really commit themselves to saving that kind of money.
Yeah.
And he's quite a backcountry paddler, that's for sure. And we thank you for really boosting his ego when he was that age. It was really good for him.
Well, I'd love to see him again. Bring him to the show.
We'll do that.
All right, thanks, Mark.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Email us at talk@wpr.org. I've been in an email from Cindy in DeSoto. I've only kayaked a few times, but I grew up canoeing. I now have kids of my own. The oldest is 5. I know they're young, but I would like to know how to get them started with things like this and some places we could take them to go kayaking that would be fun for them and not so stressful for the parents, like
yeah,
the Kickapoo River as compared to the Mississippi and maybe some rental companies nearby. Or, I don't know.
Yeah, stressful to the parents is an important one. Cindy, if you want to see something interesting, go to canoelover.com, which is my blog. And I put a series of pictures on there of my 23-year-old daughter from when she was a toddler until just recently. That has, you can see, she's been involved in paddling since she was able to basically sit still for more than a half an hour. So, yeah, it's wonderful, and thank you for wanting to do that. As far as places to go, I would not recommend rivers to start with because there's another element that's out of your control. I mean, the Wisconsin River is basically a big, wide lake that moves.
Yeah.
You know, that's a little different. But like the Kickapoo, it's easy for things to get away from you quickly. So what I'd recommend is, I'm not sure where DeSoto is. Is that southwest?
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's lots of little lakes around. I mean, Governor Dodge State Park and then in north of there. Anything that's under 100 acres, that's where you start. And use my rule of 15, which is for every year of age, they can have 15 minutes of time in a boat before they start to melt down. And that has been tested over years. And I've had eight-year-olds, and it's at 2 hours and 5 minutes, they're like, I'm done. And 10-year-olds go 2.5 hours. And then after that, it kind of falls apart. But, yeah, get your kids started, you know, at five. You should be able to handle an hour, hour and a half in a boat before it gets too restless. But
so 15 minutes per year. Per year.
That's up to about 10 or 12. That's kind of my rule. It works, I tell you.
Well, makes sense to me. And you've trial and errored that one out pretty good.
I've tested it on my own kids. I've tested it on other people's kids. It works every time.
Okay. All right. Joan and Rhinelander, your turn. Hi, Joan.
Hi. I'm glad I'm catching this show. I have kayaked with a couple of outfitters up on Lake Superior several times, really enjoyed it. But my dilemma is I have a small garage. I have two 18 to 19-foot sea kayaks, lack of room storing them. I do have rafters, but with all of the ways they go, you know, perpendicular, it's really hard to get the kayaks up in the rafters. You mentioned hanging it by one of the, you know, by the
grab handles, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't do that for sea kayaks. That was more for my little whitewater boats. Okay. There is a really cool product called a Harken hoister. It's made by the Harken Sailing Company that has pulleys that you basically screw up to the rafters, and it'll hoist the boat up till it's just really close. If your garage door doesn't open or opens so that there's a gap, you know what I mean, between the top of the garage door and the rafters, you can put a lot of things up there, and those work really well, and they're easy up and easy down.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yep.
There is not any possibility of ever storing it outside through the winter, is there?
Well, of course there is. I mean, the temperature is the same in your garage as it is outside your garage, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. So the temperature doesn't matter too much. What really matters is UV and wind and snow load. I get calls every year from people who have their boat on the side of their garage. On you know, rafters or 2x4s sticking out or a sawhorse or something, and they'll have a heavy snowstorm and it'll freeze and thaw, and then it comes off the roof, and you know, consider dropping several hundred pounds of snow on top of your kayak. It'll crush it like a bug. So that happens a lot. But you can. You just need to keep it covered, keep it out of the sun, you know, keep it off the ground, keep it tied down, just secure it like you would secure anything of value.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Yep. Thanks a lot for calling. We had an email from Tad. I'd like to learn how to roll my sea kayak. Are there indoor classes this winter? Where or when?
Yeah, we do them down here in Madison. We run, there's five or six over the winter, and we work with another individual who is a local instructor who works for us, and he helps run them. So, yeah, if you email me, I can give you an idea when they're going to be. But yeah, it's cool. We do teach in whitewater boats just because in a pool you don't want to have long sea kayaks. Mm. But if you can roll a whitewater boat, it's actually a little easier to roll a sea kayak.
There we go. There's a Facebook comment from Kyle. Took my kayak out Saturday at 10:30 p.m. on a lake in Florence County. Absolute calm. Moon almost full. Night is a wonderful time to paddle.
100% agree with Kyle. Right now, there's no bugs. It's almost a full moon. It's warm. Again, as long as you're dressing for immersion, where the likelihood of you know, tipping over is, you know, pretty minimal if you're paddling close to shore. And there's, you just have to use your head. But you're right. It is a wonderful time to paddle. I paddle Winger at night a lot because, you know, I'm busy. I have to wait until all the kids are settled down. And even though my kids are old, it's just, you know, 10 o'clock, 10:30 is a great time to run over and grab a paddle for a half an hour. And it's like paddling on molten glass that's 6 feet thick. You know, it's just this wonderful aesthetic.
And Brian in Hartford, on to you now. Hi, Brian.
Howdy. How's it going today, Jen?
Good.
Well, I have a canoe question. I'm an avid sportsman. I like to hunt, fish, duck hunt. And with me being in the great state of Wisconsin, there's all these lakes and rivers and tributaries for me to have access to get to some of those choice hunting spots. What kind of, you know, canoe would you recommend for me to be able to utilize for that kind of activity, for sporting?
Good question. There's a really great canoe from Winona Canoe, which is up just over the Mississippi River, so it's nice, you know, they're local, called the Backwater. And it's 14 and a half feet, I think. It's fairly wide and has a square stern on the back, just a little one. So you can put a trolling motor on there, and it'll scoot along nicely. It also has a center seat so you can turn around and row it if you want to. So it's a very versatile craft. You can paddle like a canoe, like a rowboat, you know, throw a trolling motor. You know, 25 or 30-pound thrust trolling motor will move that thing along pretty sweetly.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Sure. Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Beautiful photograph on our Facebook page that Vivian sent us. Picture from our Boundary Waters canoe trip. How will the recent fire impact pressure on the entry points in the southeast boundary waters?
It's a really good point. People don't like the areas that have been burnt, okay? That said, I went to Yellowstone many years ago, right after the big fire, and I found those places to be just as beautiful in different ways. The flowers and the vegetation coming up are really lovely. It doesn't take long for them to recover. But I guess my point is if you have a difficult time getting into the boundary waters because of that pressure, go someplace else. There's other places that are every bit as beautiful, and like Lake Superior Provincial Park, for example. It's about the same drive, maybe an hour or more, up through the Sioux. And it's spectacular. And the times I've been there, I've seen nobody else except for a ranger. And, you know, there's Quetico, there's Algonquin, there's Woodland Caribou, which is, you know, a little bit farther of a drive, but it's, you know, there's couple, I think there's 600 or 700 visitors a year, and that's it.
Oh, man. Jamie in Green Bay will give you a chance. Hi, Jamie.
Hi. Quick question. You mentioned that you wouldn't recommend storing a sea kayak by its the handles. I have a 23-24 foot tandem Current Designs fiberglass, but I've got suspended corner to corner in my single stall garage, so it's possible to get a big kayak in a little garage. But I have it hung from the ceiling by the rings that those handles are attached to. Is that going to hurt the kayak?
That's okay because they're, you know, they're in there. The grab handles that are in sometimes are just tied with a knot. If the knot comes out, you're going to drop your boat. What I like better is webbing, basically slung from rafter to rafter around where the bulkheads are in the boat. That's the strongest part of the boat. It does allow the boat to sit more neutrally. You don't have that pressure down in the middle of the boat. You know what I mean? So old seatbelt webbing or, you know, 1-inch webbing from a climbing shop or just anything that's going to distribute that load. And the bulkheads right behind the bow seat and right behind the center. I assume you have a Libra XT. Yeah, that's a good place to hang it.
Great. Also, the hatch covers, I've been told to keep those off so that the seals don't stay in that Titan.
Yeah, that's true. I don't do it for that so much as because I want things to air out.
Yeah.
And again, some sort of cover on those isn't a bad thing, even if it's a mesh or something like that that you throw over there just to keep the creepy crawlies out.
There you go. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Darren, thank you.
Oh, sure.
Always a pleasure. The time whipped by once again.
I love being here.
Well, we'll have you back for sure. Darren Bush, chief paddling evangelist, owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports of Madison. And he'll be back and we'll talk with him some more, I'm sure, about canoeing and kayaking. Just to take a look ahead to tomorrow. Oh, you're not going to want to miss my visit with author and Wisconsin Public Radio favorite Michael Perry. It'll be a lot of fun, so I hope you'll stay tuned. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.